it, to turn to the book of Colossians, the fourth chapter. Now read verses 1 through 6, and our supporting verse will come from James 3 and 5, which you've already heard in your hearing. The Bible reads this morning, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with a praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Let us read verse 6 again. Let us pay very close attention to the words that Paul wrote to the Colossians. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. James 3 and 5 says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindereth." On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought or subject this morning. It's not what you say, but how you say it. It's not what you say, but how you say it. Hallelujah, Jesus. Had not been for God, I don't know what we would do this morning. But on a beautiful, sunshiny day, to God be the glory for all the things that he has done. This is the day that the Lord God has made. The Bible declares we will rejoice and be glad in it. Now, I don't know about you, but I got something to be glad about this morning. I'm glad that I have a mind to be in the house of God. I'm glad that I can lift up holy hands to the Lord this morning. Anybody glad to be in the house this morning? Anybody glad to give God praise, to give him thanks for all the things that he has done? For the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah, Jesus. This morning as we come to share a word with you, a statement that you've heard most of our lives. For I can remember even as a young boy that I was told it's not what you say, but how you say it. And it's only by the grace of a loving God that he's allowed us an opportunity to come on this last Sunday of Black History Month. A time when people all over our nation remember and reflect on all of the many accomplishments and achievements and inventions that our people made to make life better for us as a people. We think about the great men and women that paved the way for freedom, justice, and equality. Look back over our lives and we all realize that there was a lot of pain and suffering that we endured. Overcoming the fact of being treated less than human, and even shedding blood and losing their lives because of the color of their skin. And as we talk a little bit about speaking and the manner in which we interact with one another, remember there was a time when we couldn't speak to the master unless he gave us permission. Couldn't even look him in the eye because we were treated less than human. Treated cruel and indifferent, and other races felt as though they were superior to us. But we've always been a strong people. We've always been a people that has been able to endure. And we know what it is to have hard times as well as good times. We as a people learned that it didn't take a whole lot of material things to have a good time. As a people, we found that we didn't have to have a place high in society to have a good time. As a people, we were taught and we believe that if we work hard, if we trust God, and if we help one another along the way, we'll make it.
And so many of our people have died shamelessly because we have been treated in a way that was unfair. We have been treated in a way that God did not see fit to really look upon those people in a judgmental way. But we got to realize that we have come a mighty long way. We got to understand that even years after slavery was abolished, we still face racism. The way of life for us in the business world, we find that there's still double standards. All you have to do is sound like a black person, and you'll get a different figure over the phone. God forbid you go in and they see the color of your skin. You ever realize that sometimes if you got a Caucasian friend or a woman that really know how to talk like somebody, they can sometimes pass off over the phone and they don't know what color they are. So you can get a whole lot of things done just by allowing somebody with the right sound coming out of their mouth to get some things done. You see, how you sound really matters. To us, we've gone through life and we realize that I can say anything I want to. It's all right to do it the way that I want to do it. But we found that there comes a time that you got to do things decent and in order. There's a certain way that you got to say things. And even if you disagree, there is a way that you can speak your mind without disrespecting yourself. As a people, we got to realize that even right here in Lexington, North Carolina, don't get all caught up with the fact that we had a little minor victory with the renaming of the MLK Street. Don't you know we still live in a community that treats us less than human? We still live in a community where they feel like they are superior to us. And if you sit around and you listen at some of the seminars and some of the meetings that you go to, they refer to us as them or y'all. Even when they talk about coming into the church house, y'all do it this way and we do it that way. And we got to understand that if you want to talk about segregation, the church of God is the most segregated institution in the world. Because as much as we say that we love God, we do not believe that we can worship together and still have peace of mind. Now, I'm not saying that there are not churches that are multi. We have people of all nationalities in a lot of our churches, and they're very diverse, and some things have changed in some ways and in some areas, but we find that there still is a difference. You don't feel comfortable. You just don't feel free. And we like to be in a position where we are free. Don't you know, as a people, there was a time we couldn't assemble ourselves like this? It didn't matter that you were coming to praise God. It didn't matter that you weren't trying to create any trouble. But we was not allowed to assemble ourselves in large numbers. So a lot of people had to die just so that we could have church like we want to have church. A lot of people have died so that you can have the jobs that you have on today. And even though you may not have the job that you want, there is a door that can be opened for you. We have come a long way. And we realize, and it's evident that things have changed, but it's also true that some things are still the same. Don't get it in your head. We already went through 4 years of a black president, and we got almost four more to go, but it's not going to change how people look at us. In fact, if you really listen and look at what's going on, they are so against him mostly because he is a black man. As intelligent as Obama is, if he was a white man, he would have the world in the palm of his hands right now. But because there's a little bit of black in his system. See, what we've heard in society, that all you got to do is have a little black blood and you consider the black. I don't care how light you is. But if there's a little black blood running in you, you are considered an African American. Nobody is going to flip over just because you put wind in your jaws. Black people have got to understand that cussing and fussing is not going to get you what you want. We got to understand that we've got to get our children and get them to pull their pants up and get a book and get off the television. Same way the guy got to pull them up, girls, you need to pull them down a little bit. too many kneecaps running around loose. But God wants us to realize that we didn't get this far without people having to die. We didn't get this far with a whole lot of things that a lot of folk would love to be where we are right now. And most of us complain about where we are. We got it better than all of our ancestors ever thought that they could have it. And a lot of what we have is because of the lives that they live. And the reason we were able to sustain is because they put some seeds in us that we will be able to endure. To know that when you go through, don't worry about it, it's going to still be all right. So our challenge this morning is to continue to move forward and do whatever we can to find out what will be our contribution to the pages of history. What are you doing that somebody will remember what you've done on this side of life? I'm not talking about you have to do so many great things. You don't have to make the news. You don't have to be on the television. But you ought to be able to treat your neighbor like somebody. You ought to be able to walk as you see your brother or sister walk up and down the street. And even if they don't live the lifestyle that you like, you ought to be able to still look at them and know that that's my brother. That's my sister. And I remember when I was walking down that same road and I can't point my finger at somebody else. How many of us know we need to draw back some of these fingers and go down on bended knees and start praying ye one for another? If you're hoping to succeed in life, you got to remember where you come from. Never forget the bridge that brought you over. All of us have to have a past. All of us got a history. And as a people today, we celebrate who we are. And we thank God for making things possible. We thank God for doing the things that nobody else can do. And there's something about us that we got to learn how to accept who we are, where we are, and what we're going to do. We got to understand that our life experiences mold us into who we really are. If you ever gone through some things, then you realize that it was a God that gave you the strength to sustain. If you ever been down and out and God picked you up out of that dirt and that mud and the mess that you were in, you realize for yourself that there is a God that sits high and looks down low. We got to understand that we don't belong to ourselves. Every one of us in here, we have a master, and we belong to our master. But it's a good thing that our master loves us. Our master watches over us. Our master has never mistreated us. Our master is going to be there whether you acknowledge him or not. He's going to be the one that is going to be in control of your very life. And we got to understand that as we come to this place, we realize that in our lifetime, as a people, we were brought to this part of the world. And when we were brought to this part of the world, we were brought in slavery. Most of us, when we start talking about the history of the black man, we always reflect back to the days of slavery. We talk about the fact that some of our ancestors that had to go through slavery, and then we thank God that we are somewhat free. But how many of you know that even though we are free, we bound ourselves? A lot of us got our own selves in bondage because we won't allow ourselves to excel. We won't allow ourselves to get out of the rut that we're in. And the reason why is because we are so caught up into our own way of doing things. You see, the Bible that I read said, lean not unto your own understanding, but you got to trust the power of a mighty God. And if I lead to the understanding of God, he will lead and direct my path. See, sometimes as smart as I think I am, I don't know which way to go. But I got a God that when I get to the crossroad, he'll start speaking to me in that small, still voice. And whereas I wanted to break off to the right, God said, you better stay right there in the middle. Anybody ever had to just be still for a little while? Anybody in here realize just where God has brought us from? Anybody know that there is a God that will do anything that needs to be done in your life? Don't begin to think that when we got over here, slavery just began. Because if you read the Bible, in biblical days, slavery already existed. They owned one another. And if you were a part of someone's household, and if they was considered your master, your ruler, or they was the one that owned you, then they could treat you however they desire to treat you. And as we look into the biblical history of mankind, man has always been sort of in a position where we walk on one another when we got the authority. You see, those of us that are in authority, we got to understand that we're going to have to give an account of the way that we treat those that's up under our roof. We are not dictators. We are not in a position where we can walk on somebody and think everything is going to be all right. Paul warns all believers that if we are slave owners, that we should be mindful of how we treat them. Too many times they're treated unfair. But they forget to remember that as believers, they are dealing with humans that were created in the image of a mighty God. The Bible says, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven." So what Paul is saying to the Colossians is, those that are believers, those that are in authority, those that have some slaves in their household, be mindful to treat them fairly and to treat them equal. Because they got to understand that they have a master that they are going to have to answer to. In other words, what Paul is saying is, you better be careful how you treat those up under you, because the very ones you walk on might be the one that have to lend you a helping hand. But even if they're not the one that have to lend a helping hand, you have a master that sits high and he looks down low. And he watches everything that you do and the way that you treat those that are under you. And if you mistreat those, then you are mistreating the master. Now, in order to treat them like you need to treat them, you got to continue in prayer. Then the Bible say, watch in the same with thanksgiving, meaning that we got to be grateful for the things that God is doing in our lives. We got to learn how to pray ye one for another. And the Bible puts it like this, opening to us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bond. Paul was saying actually that I am a child of God. And every time I can have an opportunity to share the mystery of Jesus, I'm going to take that opportunity. Paul is right now in prison writing this letter. But this does not neglect him from the fact that God had a message in his heart. And Paul's desire was to tell everybody about Jesus. He said that I might make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, Paul said, I got to make it plain and clear. I don't want to be above anybody's head, but I want to bring it down to where you can understand that God loves you. Anybody know the love of Jesus? Oh, God. When I think of where God has brought us from, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. In other words, he's saying that our time is running out. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the day to act like a child of God. If you're a child of God, Paul is saying you ought to act like a child of God. Because there's an unbeliever watching you. There's an unbeliever that are looking at you to say, that's what the church is all about. But how many are glad that it's not all about us? How many are glad that you know that you're still a work in progress? How many of you can say that I'm saved and sanctified, but I still need some help? Well, some of us think that we're all of that. We don't come above sinning and falling short. But the Bible that I read said all of us have come short of the glory of God. All of us ought to have a mind to share the good news. We ought to be able to tell somebody about the goodness of a mighty God. We ought to be able to realize that God would be right there by our side. Paul says again, let your speech be always with grace. In other words, you ought to be able to know how to talk to somebody. Season with salt, that ye may know how you ought to answer to every man. See, you can't talk to folk out of your neck. You can't talk to folk out of your attitude. You can't talk to folk when you get so full of anger. You got to learn how to hold yourself. Got to learn how to talk to the Lord our God. And tell God that you got to realize that everything that you're going through, if you're a child of the Most High King, you learn that you can't say anything that you want to say. But you got to say it the way the Lord wants you to say it. The Bible says that you got to have it seasoned with salt. Now, when we look in the book of Matthew, it says, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. So in other words, if you don't have any more power, if you don't have no goodness in your life, if you're one of those that just say anything out of your mouth, you better be careful what comes out of your mouth. The Bible says every idle word that men should speak, they're going to have to give an account of. But I somebody tell somebody that salt was a sign of God's covenant with Israel. It was a sign of being preserved. It was a sign of being pure. And it was a food enhancer. Anybody in here like salt? I do, because it makes everything a little bit better. There's some time when they tell up, don't eat too much salt because it'll run your blood pressure up. But how many of you with high blood pressure, when you sit down and eat your daily meal, when you're tasting it a little bit bland, you just got to shake a little bit of salt. But if you shake the salt on it and it don't taste any better, that salt is good for nothing. So in other words, the Lord is saying, when you let things come out of your mouth that don't amount up to nothing, that is not to the will and glory of God, it's just like being trodden upon the God's foot. It's like something, Lord, loud and saying nothing. Anybody in here know what I'm talking about? We got a whole lot of folk that always got a whole lot to say. But I stopped by to let you know that you better be careful what you say out of your mouth, for it's not what you say, but the Bible is telling us this morning that you better learn how to train that old tongue of yours. I found out in the name of Jesus that every now and again, that little red thing in your mouth gets you in more trouble than you asked for. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Got a friend or a family member that just talk too much. Every time you turn around, they're running their mouth. If they're not talking about one thing, they're talking about something else. But I heard that somebody said, when you say everything that you know, you ought to sit down and shut up. But how many of you got some friends don't know very much, but they got more mouth than anybody else? How many of you know somebody that don't know how to hold their tongue? The Bible says that if you can put a bridle in the horse's mouth, that you can control the action of the whole horse. If you want him to go to the right, you can pull on the bridle and he'll go to the right. So what James is telling us, that we got to watch our mouth, because it is a fire. It is a deadly poison. That little thing in your mouth, the Bible says, beware of what a mighty fire, a little thing kindred, a little matter it speaks of. But how many of you know that you can talk just a little too much and get everything blown all out of proportion? You better learn, just like mama said, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. If you don't like somebody, you better treat them like you love them. The Bible said that when you're talking to one another, you better season it with a little bit of salt. But so many times, we roll up our sleeves, get wind in our jaw, and we say some things out of our mouth that we are ashamed of. But I stop by to let you know that on this last Sunday of February 2013, I want somebody to trust the power of a mighty God. And if you've been talking out of the side of your neck, you better learn how to talk out of your mouth. And know that when you open up your mouth, whatever comes out your mouth, you ought to say what you mean what you say. And after you said what you got to say, if you hurt somebody along the way, don't be so proud and high-minded that you can't go back and say, Richard, I'm sorry. You got on my nerves last week, but I'm sorry, my brother. You see, there's another thing. If I fall out with Richard, instead of telling him you are no good nobody, I ought to be able to tell him that, my man, you ought to look at how you're doing things. Because God don't like ugly. God will bless you if you treat him like somebody. But you know, some folk, you can't talk to like this. Because when you talk to them like this, they say, brother, you know, I want to help you. That brother said, get your hands off me. But it's not what you say. It's how you say it. And I want to let the child of God know that when you open up your mouth, you better learn how to talk to your brothers and sisters if you want to help somebody along the way. Instead of trying to condemn them, instead of trying to judge them, You better hold on and hold out and tell somebody that the same God that looked over my faults and blessed my soul, he is able to bless you. It's not what you say, but it's how you say it. If you think about all of our ancestors that could not speak their mind, and we find ourselves, when we watch pictures like Roots, when we read things of the history of the suffering of our brothers and sisters, the first thing we say, oh, I wouldn't have did that. They'd have had to kill me. They'd have been cut my foot off. I know what my name is. But I don't care how stubborn, how big, or how bad. They had a whip that'll make you change your mind. Pain and suffering will get your attention. But I just want to let you know that we serve a God that allowed his only begotten son to suffer, to go through pain, and to die for our sins. And if we think in terms like that, I don't care what they say, but when I think about what he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So what he's saying is, if your burdens are weighing you down, you can just come to him, and he'll give you peace. He'll begin to open up doors. And that's what Paul was talking about. Paul was talking about, when I get an opportunity for a door to open, let the utterance come out of my mouth that I can share with that unbeliever that God loves you. But let it be seasoned with salt. You know how we tell folk, you keep drinking, you're going to die, and your liver going to be ate up. But if you could just season it a little bit, you can say the same thing. If you don't stop drinking, it's going to destroy your liver. And I'm just sharing that with you because I love you and I don't want you to leave me. Wouldn't you receive that a lot better than somebody hollering at you and stuffing things down your throat, trying to make you realize what you already know? It's not what you say. It's how you say it. You don't drink water, you're going to dehydrate and be in the hospital, Lewis. He's heard that from me, from Treva, from the doctor. But Lewis is his own man. And he decides when he wants to drink and when he don't want to drink. But there have been times he found himself in the hospital. Because why? He did what he wanted to do. I can talk about my friend like that because he knows that it's in love. But now, if I was to call an individual's name out and share personal things, or that's not a real big thing, because Lexington is so small, if you go to the hospital, everybody either know or think they know what's going on with you before you can even get admitted good. So it's not a secret. But some folk would be offended, but because he's my friend and he knows my position, he understands what's going on. And if I'd have said it in a negative, nasty way, even in being my friend, it could have offended him. But in the way that I presented it to you, I can tell by the look on his face. It's all right with him. It's all right with me. And we've got to learn that
if it's all right with us, why are we worried about what y'all think? It's not what you say, but it's how you say it.